Small Gods by Terry Pratchett, dramatised for radio by Robin Brooks. With Carl Prekop as brother and Patrick Barlow as the great god Om.
Our story takes place on the Discworld. Novice brother has returned to the city of Omnia, having crossed the desert in the company of Deacon Vorbis and the great god Om, who has been left behind, still stuck in the form of a small tortoise. Also heading for Omnia are a band of revolutionaries, led by Sergeant Simony, together with the philosopher Didactylus and his technologically minded nephew, Ern.
The light.
Brother?
So bright.
Brother?
Brother Numrod.
Om be praised.
Where am I?
Where? Yes, safe in your old dormitory, in the Citadel. How do you feel? You were very badly sunburned and you had a nasty knock on the head when you fell.
I fell?
Fell, yes, from the rocks, in the desert. You were with the Prophet. You walked with the Prophet, one of my novices.
I remember the desert, but the Prophet?
Prophet, yes. People are saying you could be made a bishop, or even an Iam. Most Holy Bobby was made a bishop because he was in the desert with the Prophet Ossory, and he was only a donkey.
But I don't remember any Prophet. There was only me, and...
And, yes?
Vorbis.
He most graciously told me all about it. I was privileged to be in the place of lamentation when he arrived. It was just after the Sistine prayers, and there was Vorbis, covered in dust and leading a donkey. You were across the back of the donkey.
I don't remember a donkey.
We picked it up from one of the farms. There was quite a crowd with him, and he's declared a month of Jadra and double penances, and the council has given him the staff and the halter, and the Chernobyarch has gone off to a hermitage in Scant.
Vorbis is the eighth prophet.
Prophet? Yes, of course.
And was there a tortoise?
Tortoise? What have tortoises got to do with it? Ah, the prophet said the sun had affected you. He said you were raving about all sorts of strange things.
He did?
Did, yes. He sat by your bed for 3 days. It was inspiring.
Well, how long since we came back?
Back? A week.
A week?
He left orders that you were to be brought to him as soon as you were fully conscious. He was very definite about that. Do you think you can walk? I can get some novices to carry you.
I have to go and see him. Now.
Now, yes. I expect you'll want to thank him.
In a walled garden in the heart of the Citadel, the Prophet Vorbis sits with a group of chosen companions.
Ah, here is Brother Numrod, and with him my own dear desert companion brother. My friends, I should like you to know that I have it in mind to raise brother to archbishophood. Technically, a young brother is not yet ordained, although there is a precedent.
Precedent, yes.
Ossory's ass!
Oh, pardon me.
Good Brother Numrod is correct. The patient beast had also not been ordained unless the qualifications were more relaxed in those days. And now you will all leave. Archbishop Brother and I wish to talk.
Yes, my lord. Yes, my lord.
You are recovered?
Yes, lord. But I cannot be a bishop. I can't even...
I assure you, the job does not require much intelligence. If it did, bishops would not be able to do it. We spoke once, did we not, of the nature of reality?
Yes.
And about how often that which is perceived is not that which is fundamentally true?
Yes.
I'm sure you have only confused memories of our wanderings in the wilderness.
No, Lord, I have a good memory.
It is only to be expected. The sun, the thirst.
Numrod said... You led me through the desert. I thought I carried you.
There was a physical desert, indeed, but also a desert of the soul. My God led me, and I led you.
I see.
Much was given to me in the desert, brother. Much was learned. Now I must tell the world. That is the duty of a prophet. To go where others have not been, and bring back the truth of it. The great god Om guided my steps, and now that I have the throne and the diadem, I shall make use of them, Archbishop Brother.
I'm not an archbishop.
You'll get used to it. I have something to show you. Can you walk unaided?
I think so.
Come then. There. What do you think?
A turtle. A big iron turtle.
Large enough to take a man spread-eagled on its back, if not the whole world. The rebels speak this poisonous gibberish. They say they live on the back of a giant turtle. Let them die on one. See the firebox underneath?
Yes.
While the metal is heating, the heretics will have time to reflect, to repent.
Ingenious.
And a salutary lesson for all those tempted to stray from the path of true knowledge.
Archbishop Brother wanders slowly through the crowds that throng the place of lamentation.
Afternoon, Your Reverence.
And congratulations.
Dibbler. Oh, how do you know? I only just found...
Here, have a slab of Clatsian Delight. Free on a stick.
Thank you. Busy today?
Time of the prophet, innit? You won't be able to swing a goat round here in a day or two.
Why? What happens then?
The laws. The Book of Orbis is made manifest. You would never tip, would you? I don't suppose the great god Om said anything of benefit to the convenience food industry?
I don't know. Sorry.
Funny thing. Orbis turning out to be a prophet.
Funny.
Makes you think, doesn't it? I mean, even Ostrey must have been a man who walked around, got wax in his ears, just like you and me.
Funny. Yeah.
Brother wanders away through the crowds, deep in thought.
Where is Om? What happened to him? I can't hear him. He may be too far away. He might be out there somewhere miles away.
Get your flashing delight.
And it'll happen all over again. The cruelty and the oppression.
Flashing delight. It's sticky. It's on a stick.
He didn't care. He should have cared about his worshippers. Somebody's got to do something. And now we'll get the Book of Vorbis. I know what his commandments will be. It'll be holy wars and blood and crusades and blood and piety and blood.
The great god Om, moving at tortoise speed...
Wait! Wait!
...slides down an irrigation ditch. The shape of Brother's thoughts flicker back and forth in his mind.
Don't want to do that. Why put your hand in a grinder? This place deserves Vorbis.
He crawls up into another field. The citadel is a gleaming dot in the twilight.
Brother, what have you got? Vorbis has got an army.
He is doing less than a fifth of a mile an hour. The citadel is 20 miles away.
You're going to die, brother.
Once or twice an eagle passes, circling overhead. Night is falling. The nights are cold, and he slows down as his blood cools.
You're going to die.
In a barn, Sergeant Simony, leader of the rebel turtle movement, and Erne, nephew of the philosopher Didactylus, plan an assault on the citadel of Om.
Battering ram. That's what we need.
No problem. Tree trunk? A big iron rammer.
They're big tools.
Probably hollow. Or bronze plates on wood. That's what I do.
Well, everyone says solid bronze.
Well, that's what I'd say too.
Permission to speak, sir.
Trooper.
The doors is reinforced with Clatchian steel, sir. Because of all the fighting in the time of the false prophet Zog. And they opens outwards only, sir.
Well, how were they opened?
The high priest raises his hand, and the breath of God blows them open.
Yeah, but in a logical sense.
Oh, well, one of the deacons goes behind a curtain and pulls a lever. There's a room underground. You can hear water down there.
Hydraulics. Can we get into the room?
No one bothers with it.
Can you open it? Can you work these hydraulics?
Probably. It's just pipes and pressures.
Crowds are gathering for the coronation of the new prophet. Brother wanders the empty corridors and sits down in a deserted courtyard.
Where is Om? I can't hear him. If only you would send a sign.
A grating by Brother's feet lifts and slides.
What on earth?
A hooded head appears, pulls itself out of the hole, grins at Brother, puts its finger to its lips, then produces a knife and launches itself at it.
High priest!
Simony!
Brother! You're alive! Earn! It's brother!
Hiya, brother! How's your memory?
Fine, unfortunately.
Oh, good. Look, stay out of the way today.
I was.
Best if you don't know what's going on.
I don't.
Good. That's the way. See ya.
Beneath the temple, Erne and Sergeant Simony make their way through the tunnels of the citadel, using the kind of nonchalant walk which would draw detailed and arrow-sharp attention to them in seconds. Fortunately, the guards are all above ground at the ceremony.
Right, this is it.
Keep watch.
Right.
It's all a bit rusty. Two sets of counterweights, a few hundred gallons of water to swing the balance, gear chain.
Aye.
Water goes in and out and the doors swing open.
Right, so you can open it.
Don't see why not.
Right, then we just wait for the turtle movement to get into position.
There never was a book of the Prophet Brother, but during the time of renovation, scribes assembled notes, one of which contains the eyewitness account of a street vendor. The Renovation Testimonies, Chapter 7, Verse 1.
I was standing right by the statue of Ossory, right, when I noticed Brother just beside me. Everyone was giving him lots of elbow room, on account of him being bishop and that.
Verse 2.
I said to him, "Hello, your graciousness," and offered him a yoghurt, practically free.
Verse 3.
He responded, "No."
Verse 4.
I said, "It's a very healthy yoghurt. It's a live yoghurt."
Verse 5.
He said, "Yeah, he could see."
Verse 6.
He was looking a bit down, and he didn't even eat the yoghurt, which I admit was on the hum. What would he eat? I mean, I had to keep hitting it with a spoon to stop it getting out of the... Yeah, all right, I was just explaining about the yoghurt.
Verse 7.
He just stood there staring.
Verse 8.
So I said, "Got a problem, your reverence?" And he said,
"I can't hear him."
Verse 9.
I said, "What is this he to whom what you refer?" He said,
"If he was here, he'd send me a sign."
Verse 10.
Anyway, right, then he pushed through the line of guards and stood right in front of the doors. And he said something like,
"I believed in you all my life. Just give me this one thing."
Verse 11.
Something like that, anyway. "You want some yoghurt? Bargain offer."
I think I better just check out what I'm doing.
Is that wise?
Won't hurt if I just loosen this nut. Stop it.
What?
Stop the water. It's too soon.
Keep quiet. There are guards around.
We've got to stop it.
Orpheus, stand still. What are you doing down here?
Well, it's the seating, isn't it? You've got shocking seepage around the seating. Amazing it holds together. I mean, who put that in?
But you're not supposed to... Got him. Roy, I'll just stick his body down.
No, not down there. That's a counterweight. It's too soon. Too soon.
Oh, let's get out of here.
Brother stands in front of the huge temple doors. They tremble and swing slowly outwards. The ceremony halts. The attendants look at one another in confusion, and Brother walks up the central aisle towards the Prophet Forbis.
"Ah, my brother. We had looked for you in vain, but even now you are here. Is there something you wish to say?"
Brother raises his hand to strike the Prophet. Forbis smiles meekly and turns his cheek.
"No. No, I won't."
As Brother lowers his hand, an expression of rage flashes across Vorbis's face, then is gone.
"Guards, take him. Stretch him on the iron turtle. I will come when the ceremony is complete."
"Eagle, oh eagle, down here, little tortoise is waiting.
Come on."
"Oh, oh, up we go. Now, right between its legs, where it's... Ah, ah, right, now,
listen to me. I've got my beak in your dangly bits. We don't want to hurt each other, do we? You play ball with me, and I'll play ball with you. Got it? Now, this is what I want you to do. You're going to fly us both over the citadel.
Hot yet, brother?
Warm.
It will get warmer. Nothing you want to say, not even a curse.
You never heard Om. All you heard were echoes inside your own mind.
But I am the High Priest, and you are going to burn for heresy.
There will be justice.
Justice?
Do you hear him? Justice! Om has judged through me! This is justice!
Left, 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 up, up, right a bit.
He comes now!
Let him come! Let him judge between us!
He comes now! The god!
Up, left, and when I say three, one, two, three!
Vorbis!
What?
You're going to die!
What?
I'm sorry!
What?
Look up! What?
Yes.
This is the desert. The desert of death.
Yes.
It looks so cold. I hadn't planned on dying yet.
Few do.
And at the end of the desert?
Judgment.
Yes. Yes, of course. What is the desert?
The desert is what you believe.
Yes. What I believe.
Vorbis looks inside himself, but all he can hear is the sound of his own thoughts bouncing off the inside of his head.
No. No.
Well, must be getting along.
Don't leave me. It's so empty.
I see 100,000 people.
Where?
Here. With you.
I can't see them.
Nevertheless.
I don't understand.
You have perhaps heard the phrase that hell is other people?
Yes.
In time you will learn that it is wrong.
Gathered in their thousands in the place of lamentation, the people see and the people believe. The great god Om rises over the temple, billowing and changing as the belief of thousands flows into him.
Brother is mine! Loose his chains! He is Chernobyl and prophet of prophets! Do I hear any objections? No? Good.
A shaft of flame shoots out, striking the temple doors, erasing the commandments of the centuries.
What shall our commandments be, prophet?
I thought they were supposed to come from you.
Come on, come on! I've got some smiting to do.
No smiting! And no commandment unless you obey them too.
No way! I don't need you. I have believers enough.
Then it will happen again. All the bloodshed and the lack of belief. But you have a chance.
What? Listen to stupid prayers? Watch over small children? Make it rain?
Sometimes. It could be a bargain.
You want a constitutional religion?
That's why gods die. Because they never believe in people. Just give yourself a chance.
Oh, all right then. I'll try it for a while. Let's say... next 100 years? Okay.
And then?
We shall see.
Brother.
I mean Prophet, brother.
Sergeant Simony. What is it?
A fleet has been sighted. An Ephebian fleet. It must be an invasion.
I'll meet them on the beach.
Not by yourself.
One might be enough.
General Argavisti and Admiral Borvorius of Ephebi are in command of the amphibious landing, as is Imperiator Ramap Effen, leader of their new allies from Sword. Pretty much the only captain who doesn't think he's in command is Faster Benj, a fisherman from a forgotten nation of marsh-dwelling nomads whose small reed boat has been swept up by the invasion. Since Faster Benj's tribe believe that there are only 51 people in the world, worship a giant newt, and speak their own impenetrable language, he is spending a lot of time wearing a puzzled grin.
Who sent you, boy?
I came by myself. I came to surrender.
Surrender?
You can't do that.
Well, you'll probably defeat us. But then what will you do? Leave a garrison? You'll be the oppressors. There'll be another war. And we could sort it all out now.
I don't
know. Look! Omnian forces are mustering on the cliffs.
Ah, I see your game, young man. Keep us talking while your soldiers get into position.
No.
A brave man, but doomed.
Sound the advance!
No!
Go back to your people, little priest.
Form columns!
I need to pray.
As you wish.
Forward!
Yes? What's the matter? Oh, I see. Shall I smite them?
No.
I could make them as dust. Just say the word.
No.
A god must protect his people.
These are honest men.
Not stick them full of arrows?
No!
What then? Oh, all right. I'll see what I can do.
Om soars like a golden comet through the skies of the Discworld, buoyed up by the strength of fresh belief. From the mountains of the Hub rises the central spire of Cori Celesti, topped by ice and snow, and by the turrets and domes of Dun Manifestin, home of the gods.
Who knocks? Who dares disturb Isle, god of thunder?
Right! Who are you that dare disturb?
Oh, you have to do that.
I've got no time for talking to some panty waster in a sheet. Oh. Where are the gods of Ephebi and Sort?
Over there.
In the centre of the marbled halls lies what looks like a model of the Discworld seen from far off, yet brought up close to and very, very detailed. The gods cluster round it, watching intently.
Hi, everybody, you hit my nose.
Take yourself off, pal.
Excuse me.
What?
You're not supposed to do that. No smiting here. It's the rules.
When I want to hear the rules from a giant newt, I'll ask.
You want fight, you get your humans to fight his humans.
What's your name?
Patang Patang, me.
And you're a god?
Definite.
Yeah? How many worshippers have you got?
51.
51?
Is that lots? I can't count. But I've got a stake in this, see? I believe a man, him, down there.
That little fisherman. So when he dies, you'll have only 50.
That's less than 51?
Oh, yes.
Definite?
Yup.
Nobody tell me that.
Oi, you sun god! There's people gonna die down there.
Yes, that's what they're for.
It's just a game to you, isn't it?
You've got it. Hand me the dice, someone. It's my throw.
Excuse me, love.
Mm-hmm.
Could I borrow your cornucopia for a moment? Thank you.
Oh, I'm not sure that I should let you have
dice, it. Dice man!
What is it now?
Chew on this!
What's happening?
The gods are angry.
Someone's bombing us with giant trees. Take cover!
Gigantic fragments of cornucopia rain down. Fog rolls in, hot and flashing with electricity. A pair of giant dice drop onto the shingle. They sparkle for a while and then evaporate. Slowly the fog clears. The gods appear in the sky, shimmering, hazy, golden. Om stands behind the Tzortian sun god, whose arm appears to be twisted behind his back.
Listen. This is your sun god speaking. Life is not a game.
It's all right. I'm doing it.
Here and now, you are alive. That's it.
All right, happy. Yes. Can we go now, please?
And so, for 100 years, Prophet Brother was Chernobiarch of Om. He made Didactylus a bishop, Simony head of a non-torture inquisition, while Urn was kept occupied by irrigation, agriculture, that sort of thing. Brother copied out the library, and people came from everywhere to visit it. Even priests spent time in it. There were over 1,000 religious books, each one, according to itself, the only book any man need ever read. It was nice to see them all together.
Many happy returns, my lord.
Mm-hmm.
100 years today, sir.
Day?
Since you walked in the desert.
It can't be more than 60.
Well, they checked the records.
100? Really? Good lord, I forgot. I forgot! 100 years, yes, but here and now.
My lord! My lord! Someone?
I wasn't expecting you.
You were fortunate.
There's such a lot to be done.
There always is.
Where are we going?
You'll see.
The desert?
Yes.
Does everyone get this?
Who knows?
Do I cross the desert? What's at the end of it?
Judgment.
Who's this? Forbis?
Yes.
But he died 100 years ago.
All must cross, if they dare.
He's been here for 100 years.
100 years may pass in the blink of an eye, or like infinity. He could not cross alone.
Poor man.
He was a murderer, and a creator of murderers. Cruel, callous, compassionless.
Yes, I know. He's Forbis. But I'm me. Come on, Forbis. Yes. Come on. Come on.
Forbis stood up uncertainly and followed Brother across the desert. Death watched them walk away.
In the final episode of Small Gods by Terry Pratchett, dramatised for radio by Robin Brooks, Carl Prekop was Brother, Alex Jennings, Vorbis, and Patrick Barlow, Om. The narrator was Anton Lesser, Numrod, Jeffrey Beavers, Didactylos and Dibbler, Gerard McDermott, Ern, John Cummings, Sergeant Simony, Nick Sace, and Death, Michael Kilgariff. Small Gods was produced by Claire Grove and directed by Gordon House.